On this series, exploring who Jesus is. Jesus as the Son of God. And some of what that means. This morning I've titled it, The Son of God Has Authority. We're going to go through several scriptures here. Well, walk through Mark 1:14 to 2:17. It'd be great, none of it's going to come up on the screen except for one short passage. So it'd be great if you have your Bibles to open them to Mark 1 and 2. And we'll look at Mark 1:14 to 2:17. We're going to bounce around a little bit, kind of flow through this. But this is amazing. This is beyond amazing, the Son of God and how He demonstrates His authority. Remember last week we walked through John the Baptist preparing the way for the Son of God? And then God preparing, He pronounced on Jesus that, "Behold, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus was tested by God or tempted by the devil, kind of simultaneously there. And prepared for ministry. Now Jesus launches into ministry in chapter 1:14. And I'll read 14 and 15, but I want to walk through my outline first, which you don't have in your Bibles, but you are in your bulletins, but you could write down these four words. And maybe if we can go through it on the screen and then we'll back up. But the first one, Jesus demonstrates His authority through His teaching. So you can write that down if you want to follow that along. We were just doing our family devotions, was it last night? And we were talking about if we hear something, chances are we only remember 5% of it 24 hours later. Pretty minimal. If we've written it down, if we've read it, we remember up to 15% of it. So we can times it by 3 if we're engaging with it. If we've actually studied it and written it down, we can take that rate up to 35%. So that process of interacting while we're listening can be huge in our... And then if we memorize a passage of Scripture, obviously if we memorize it, we get it 100%. So the more we're interacting with it, the more we benefit, the more chance the Holy Spirit has a chance to work in our lives. So the Son of God has authority in His teaching. He also demonstrates in these verses that the Son of God has authority in calling people out, calling them to things, something. He also goes to battle. He demonstrates He has authority over demons, including what they say, what He allows them to say. And the fourth one is, the Son of God has authority over sickness. So keep those four things in mind. We're going to bounce around through those as we go here. So I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This is under teaching. Jesus demonstrates His authority as a teacher. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," He said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Right? John came and said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus is changing that a little bit. He goes, "Repent and believe the good news." He says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. He's right here in front of us. He's bringing in a new kingdom, a new way of moving forward. And He is the King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And this kingdom is right in front of them. And He has this incredible teaching that should just open people's eyes. But sometimes we're a little docile and slow. And we don't get it." So He dives in there and teaches this. And I'm just looking... The next piece has to do with calling. So He flows out of this teaching and immediately goes to calling. But remember that I said sometimes there's a big gap in time, even though it doesn't record it here. This would be one of those. As Jesus walked, I'm reading verses 16 to 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. This isn't the first time he's seen these guys. It just seems like it from the Gospel of Mark. But if we look at the other Gospels, this isn't the first time. He's already built a relationship, and they've built up a trust with him. They've seen him before. And so there's a gap in there of time, but Mark doesn't record it because Mark's on a race here, remember? He's just flying through the information. So he goes, but he says to them, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets, and they followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And he demonstrates his authority over calling people, calling them to something different. You have a role you need to play in the kingdom of God. Now they still have a choice, but this is the Creator who knit them together in their mother's womb and knows them better than they know themselves. And it's crazy when we say no to God, because he goes, I know exactly how I've made you. I thought God was the crazy one when he called me to ministry. I really did. I wrestled with it all night, not wanting to go to Bible college, not wanting to go into career missions. I work with my hands. I do these things. I serve in the church on the side. I've got it figured out, God. Finally, after praying all night, I said, wait, you're the one who created me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But you're calling me to play a role in your kingdom, and it's different than the role I thought. Keep that in mind. And he calls them, and they respond. It's amazing. They responded. Now it goes back to teaching. It goes back, bounces around all over the place here. 21 and 22. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. Listen to the response. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. It's this incredible authority. As soon as he's teaching, people are going, whoa, this is different. He has an incredible authority. Listen to this guy. And after there, it bounces over to demons. Immediately, there's attack and there's opportunity as well. I'm going to read 23 to 28. Just then, Paul or Mark has a whole bunch of language like this. Immediately, just then, it's just a super fast-paced book. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Another declaration of who Jesus is we talked about last week. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all... Am I still? Yep, going to 28. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching. And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. He's got authority over evil spirits, right? One third of the angels rebelled against God, became demons, fallen angels. They're not completely dealt with yet. They're still in, running around the world, wreaking havoc, still fighting against the kingdom of God that's come in the fullness of the person of and the work of Jesus. And they're fighting against it. They're trying to stir it up. But Jesus says, I'm limiting how much you can stir that up. I have authority over you. And he demonstrates it. Then it goes to, find my 29. It goes to, he has authority over sickness as well. Verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Heals her, just like that. Absolutely miraculous. And she began to wait on them. I know I'm cruising through these. I'm going to come back and grab one passage of this. We can't preach this in depth, all of it, because we're going through too big a chunks of Mark. But really try and involve yourselves in at least one or some of these stories and go, how does Jesus need to impact my life this morning? What touch from God, from the Son of God, do I need? And he's healing people. He's delivering people. He's calling them to something different than they understood. So that was in the overpower of sickness. That's 31-32. Now I'm going to read 29-31. 32-34 is both demons and sickness. Going on with 32. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. He didn't want that broadcast yet. We'll deal with that another week more. But it affected his ministry when they proclaimed who he was, when it became too clear. Again, casting out demons. They're sick. Just lots, reams, crowds of people coming. And that's under both sickness and demons. And then we go to verse 35. And I'm jumping over that section. We'll come back to it. And jumping right down to verse 40-45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. That's crazy already. This is leprosy, highly contagious disease. Nobody touches them. In fact, they had to walk around saying, "Unclean, unclean," so that nobody came too close to them. So he calls out to Jesus in desperation. "If you are willing," he begged him. On his knees, "If you are willing, you can heal me." Jesus doesn't just do it in a safe manner from way off. He goes right up there and takes him, touches him by the hand. He says, "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Amazing. He completely changed that man's life by healing him. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So it changed his ministry, and we'll see here in a bit how dramatically. Jesus now couldn't go enter into the towns because he was just swamped by crowds of people. But he has compassion and he heals them in his sickness. That's 40-45. 2:1-2 immediately jumps back to teaching. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. His preaching is powerful. People are gathering. They've just got to hear this guy. And they're hearing him and hearing him. And then it jumps to another healing. He has authority over sickness. Verses 3-12. Some men came. Just try and picture this story in your head as I read it. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get in to Jesus because of the crowds, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." See, it's not just over physical sickness that Jesus has authority, but spiritual sickness. Amen? Because that's what ails us for eternity. That's what hinders us from real relationship with God. He's even got authority over that, but the people don't believe it. And they're what? What's this going on? He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Not if he's truly God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk? But you, that you may know that the Son of Man, there it is again, has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Nor had they heard anything like this. This is Jesus. He's an original. There's one Son of God. And it goes back to teaching. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. In 2:14, I put in calling. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. This was Matthew, who's now called Matthew, and wrote the first gospel. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. And it jumps back to teaching. He takes this little break. Here's this guy he's in relationship with. You need to come along and play a different role in the kingdom too. And he does. Then he keeps teaching. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, he uses the opportunity of calling Levi, and then Levi brings together the group of people that he's hung around with for years. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. And for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So he's not calling the amazing righteous people. He's calling sinners to a different role. And he's called us. He's still calling people. He's still teaching. He still has authority over demons and over sickness. But do we really believe it? Do we really? We have the information, so we understand it cerebrally in our heads. But are we experiencing the Son of God? Where does his authority come from? What's the source of his authority? Now we're going to look at 35 to 40, and this will come up on the screen. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach, continue teaching there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. What's the source of his power? Jesus was fully human, but he had learned to rely on the Father, just like that illustration Beverly did. We call out to our dads, help. I need help. We all need help. We don't have that kind of authority over sickness and disease and in our teaching apart from God. But with God, we have that authority. But if Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, builds in regular time of prayer into his life, and he needed that, he communes with the Father, and that's the source of his authority. We are completely arrogant and think far too highly of ourselves if we're not also engaged in prayer, asking him to do above and beyond what we can ask or imagine, beyond what we can do in ourselves. Or we're living way too safe of lives, only taking on what we can do in our own strength. There's something very incompatible about a prayerless life and thinking that we're living in the kingdom of God. I wasn't expecting some of Mark to go the direction it has, but I preached on prayer on January 1 and said either we're going to become a praying church or we're really going to miss out on a lot of what God wants to do in us and through us. And I'm not less convinced of that now. I'm actually way, way more convinced of that. We're either going to become a praying people or we're going to miss out on a lot of what God wants to do. We were just meeting the other day, three churches, us, Coaldale Mennonite, and The Rock. And we just went around the circle. What do you think God is up to? And Frank from The Rock says, he has a sense that God wants to move in Coaldale like he has never moved in Coaldale before. Somebody from the Coaldale church says, they're Coaldale Mennonite, we're all Coaldale churches, he says, you know, someone I don't hear much of from in our church, it's hard to talk to this person about spiritual things, came up to me and said, I'm really excited for what God's going to do in 2017. Might he actually answer our prayers? He's the risen Savior. He still answers prayer. He gives authority. He's fully human, and he needed the touch of God, the call of God, the sending of God, to have the authority in his teaching and his calling others out over demons, over sickness. And so do we. We have opportunities to teach and preach in all of our relationships. We don't preach in this manner, but we're all teaching with our lives and with our words. I know many of you are seeking to intentionally engage co-workers, neighbors, all sorts of the place. Are we going with the authority of the Son of God? We carry that same authority. All authority in heaven on earth has been given me, and I send you, Jesus says. He passes that authority on to us. Do we really believe it? People need to hear this. That there's forgiveness in Jesus, and we can say it with authority. We need to be receivers of that message in an ongoing way. Are we receiving what God wants to give us? Abundant life. There's real and true life in Jesus. We can be a revealer of that to people around us with his authority, with a clear message. And it's not about us, it's about what he is doing. It's him doing it. And that there's eternal life. We can revel in that ourselves, and we can pass that on to others. This is our mission and our mandate. This is the second piece of the verses in front of you here. Jesus prays, and that's the source of his authority, and he won't let people, anything else, distract him from his calling. They're concerned because look at the crowds. Everybody's looking for you. And Jesus said, let us go onto the next towns that I may preach there also. It's way more important to get the truth out there. That's his role. I'm called to do this. For I can preach there also. That is why I came out. And he went throughout all of Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons as a sign. He says, I forgive you. People need to know there's forgiveness in Jesus and Jesus alone. And sometimes he backs it up. He proves it. He demonstrates the authority. He has the authority to do that with a miraculous sign. Are we asking him to give people what they need? to believe in Him, He's still the God of the miraculous. Are we believing Him for that? Are we asking that? Are we praying constantly, consistently, submittedly? Are we just trying to live safe, do it on our own strength? Let's just contain church this way. I need to go on a journey. I've known this for a while, but there is no more denying it. I need to become more of a praying man. I'm not praying like I used to, and I'm not praying like I need to. And I don't know what that all means for our church, but I invite you on that journey. I need to go on a personal journey, but I have a sense this is a corporate journey, a strong sense. That individually and in groups, we need to learn how to pray and really expect God to answer. And learn to walk by faith, not by sight. To take on vision bigger than ourselves and watch God show up. The disciples, He didn't just send them out when they're fully equipped. They went out with fear and trembling because they knew they couldn't do it in and of themselves, but they went out by faith. Their faith was greater than their fear and trembling. Because in prayer, He handles that and He sends us out. He commissions us. He calls us out. Is there some people around us that maybe need some calling out? Hey, I think this would be really significant for your walk with Jesus. Would you play on the music team with us? Would you join me in my Sunday school class? I think you should be an apprentice teacher. Or some other way of serving. Hey, would we get together and pray for each other that when we go into our workplaces, we are light and salt to a greater degree than we are now? Would we just meet together and pray about that? What are we calling each other out? See, we're sent with that same authority to call out. And in our teaching, in our proclaiming, when we're sharing a testimony, that's no small matter. That's proclaiming the truth of God, and it's powerful because God's in it. It's the Holy Spirit in it. And yes, even over demons, if God wants to do that, let Him do it. In fact, we invite it. If someone needs to see that or be delivered, absolutely. And over sickness, it doesn't mean we go and we demand, right? All the people that were healed still died. They'll die at some point. But don't excuse it too fast. Oh, well, you know, if it be your will, Lord. Sometimes that's a humble prayer to say. But sometimes it's just an excuse to not really have faith that God might show up. And He's still doing miracles. And He does it through our weakness and our brokenness and all the rest of that. But we go with the authority of God. But if we're not spending time in prayer, we won't really believe that. We won't go with authority. We'll go with timidity. And that's not in the kingdom of God. Like I said at the beginning, there's an oxymoron there. If we think we're walking in the kingdom of God when we're not communicating regularly, consistently, there's an arrogance or a self-trust. There's something else going on that we are not falling on our knees. In desperation, calling out to God. What has God called us to live as? Are we living out our calling? Jesus wouldn't be distracted from it. Even when a whole bunch of people said, hey, help me, help me, help me, help me. He says, here's what I need to do. I need to get to all these towns and preach this message. Maybe we need to hone in on what that calling is in our lives. That we live it and not get distracted. However God answers, it comes back to Jesus' teaching. Maybe there's something we need to repent of and actually believe the good news, believe the gospel. That was Jesus' message, repent and believe. Maybe it's repenting of lack of faith, of trusting Him. Believe the good news is for all people. Really, that guy over there? Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to share it. But God's already still up to something in His life. And His life and His words teach prayer is absolutely necessary. He taught them to say, pray, as I said last week. He says, my Father. And He teaches His disciples to say, our Father. We come to our Father. We get to come to our Father and pray. And we go out with the authority to have impact in our community. Like I said, I need to adjust. I need to adjust my personal life. And if you have the sense that something's not aligned with the kingdom of God, with Jesus' teaching and his life, and you would like prayer, and I would humbly be very privileged to do that for you. I want to open up Monday mornings as my usual thing. Not as a time of pastoral counsel or whatever else. This is to pray for you or whoever comes. Pray over you and with you and listen together to God. And go on a journey of discovering an intentional dependence on God through a life of prayer. That God would answer and do more than we can ask or imagine. Because if the Holy Spirit's not building this church, it's just us. And that's pretty pathetic. In fact, it's not a church at all. Not the church of Jesus Christ, at least. It might be a gathering. It might be a lot of other things. But it's Jesus that needs to lead this church. And he'll lead us as we learn how to pray. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we can do a lot of things. We can entertain. We can hold classes. We can talk about things. But we can't change a heart. We can't call people to things that you have created them for unless we're discerning your voice together. With each other. We have no authority in our teaching unless we are speaking your truth by the power of your Spirit. We have no authority over demons apart from you, or sickness, or anything else. And we certainly don't have authority to forgive. You do. But we want to point the people, point each other and others to the one who does, the giver of forgiveness, of abundant life, of eternal life. God, would you humble us that we would become a praying people in 2017. We bow before you. You are the Son of God. You are more amazing than we can comprehend. And you are leading us as your followers, followers of Jesus, seeking to bring glory to you. Would you bring about significant transformation this week and in the coming weeks by your power and for your glory. Amen.
Please stand with us for our closing song.